You are listening to the Photo Bomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photo Bomb Podcast. My name is Boo Ray Perry, and joining me as always is Gary Hughes.
I gave up on standing. I'm sitting back down again.
That's right. Last week you were standing during the show.
Yes,
you had the stand-up desk. You were the modern man. You were eating kale while standing at your desk and donating money to global warming relief. Mm-hmm. This week, it's a box of donuts sitting down and literally not wearing pants. Am I correct?
Yeah, correct. All those things are true.
All right.
Except for the donuts and the pants.
Okay.
But I wish I had donuts. I can't eat donuts. I can't eat anything anymore.
You ended up in the emergency room. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, no, it's fine.
It's a little late now, right?
Yeah, it's
you were in the emergency room. There. Okay, if I tell the world you were in the emergency room, Gary?
Got a diagnosis this last week. I have high blood pressure. At my age, that's a little sad, but it's certainly genetic. And anyway, so I'm on blood pressure medication, and now I'm supposed to be testing my blood pressure a couple of times a day and keeping track of it so that I can give it to my doctor so he can watch improvements over time, et cetera, et cetera. And so in my head, I don't really know what the numbers mean that much.
I never know. To this day, I try to remember, and I never
all I
can
know
remember.
If the bottom number is over 100, that's real, real bad.
And I think the top number is supposed to be like 80 or something around there.
No, it's I think if you're like 150 over 80 is something
it's
pretty
way
nice.
Off.
And so so I took my blood pressure the other night because I went to bed and I could feel like my pulse in my neck and like throbbing in my ear. I'm like, there's something wrong. Like, and so I go test my blood pressure and it's like 165 over 106. And so, apparently is pretty high. It's not like you're about to die high, but it's high. And I'm freaked out because I don't really know what all these numbers mean. So I go to the hospital and then they check me out and I get a chest x-ray and I get an EKG and I get blood tests. And apparently I'm a perfectly healthy neurotic adult.
Your doctor's like, you're perfectly fine. That's exactly what you're supposed to be, or?
No. My blood pressure was high, but it had gone back down because what happens is when you go to the hospital and they put you in one of the triage rooms and start testing on you, when you sit still for 5 hours, your blood pressure goes down quite a bit. So I was sitting in a room for 5 hours to like 3 a.m. at the emergency room.
Even if you're in the emergency room, because I would think sitting in the emergency room would be a problem.
No, it was cool. I had a TV and there was a Sex and the City marathon. So, it was fine. And then, they come back in. They're like, I don't know. I'm like, just get me out of here. I know you're going to send me a bill for like $1,500 for not telling me what's wrong with me. But anyway, so I'm dealing with my newfound age and disability of high blood pressure, and I could stroke out and die at any moment. But so I'm just going to live each day like it's my last.
So what was the number again when you went in?
160 over 105 or something like that.
Yeah, the top number is supposed to be less than 120, and the bottom number is supposed to be less than 80.
Right.
Right, so there you go. There's the numbers for you.
Yeah, it was real high, like real, real high.
Yeah, so and you. I felt like your blood pressure was going up because of the text you were sending me from the emergency room. I felt like that was the cause of your high blood pressure, was experiencing the emergency room.
In retrospect, I would probably have just rolled the dice and tried to get some sleep and then gone in the morning because the overnight crew at the hospital there was they're not the A-team.
They give zero Fs.
No, they gave less than that. They took some from me. it was real, real bad. Anyway, I'm fine, everybody. I'm fine. I'm just dealing with it. All now right. I can't have now they're like, okay, you have to cut salt in your diet. And so this is what I'm discovering is that salt's in everything.
Yes, everything has salt in it. You think you don't have... No, it's got salt.
So, I've already cut sugar out of my diet because, if you haven't listened, I've lost about 35 pounds since last year, cutting out most of the sugar out of my diet and, not eating, food that tastes good. And so salt was really like my thing that I had left. I could put hot sauce on things and, it was like my last bastion of enjoying my life as far as food is concerned. And now I just have to realize that food's just not going to be the fun part of life anymore again.
Yeah, it's not a fun realization when food just becomes, I have to have this to live.
Right, and you've been like that for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I still have some stuff I like, but there's a lot of stuff that was craving stuff that now is just gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does make dieting easier, although I think you've transferred the 35 pounds to me. I put on weight in the last year. I got to take it off again. But it is easier when I want to diet than it is for most people, because I don't have a problem with sweets cravings and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, the big part is that this has me really contemplating my life is no more bacon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I
know. That's killer.
Yeah, no more bacon. What do you even do with that?
Give me a minute. You okay? Just a second. Okay.
I didn't say you couldn't have more bacon.
Oh, all right. Well, it's transference again.
Unless you want to give up bacon in solidarity.
This is my empathy for you, and no.
My sister actually offered that because I was keeping her up. She lives overseas, so I was keeping her up to date on the situation. And as you reach a certain age, like a lot of my communication with my siblings is about health related stuff, like our parents and ourselves. And so, you know, so I was giving them the health update, and I said, so I'm not going to die. It's like, but I kind of want to because I can no longer have bacon.
Right. There has to be a point where there's quality of life issues, and bacon, bacon may be the breaking point.
Yeah, yeah. It just euthanized me already. I'm just done. Yeah. Bacon. I can have stuff, but like you can't, eating out is terrible.
Oh no, because there's butter and salt and everything.
And you think you can just get a salad. You can't, because salad dressing has like 300 milligrams of sodium a serving. I'm allowed 2 grams of salt a day.
Right.
And I have to count that.
2 grams?
2 grams, so that'd be 2,000 milligrams of salt. Okay, so, like one tablespoon of salad dressing has 400 milligrams of sodium, depending on the salad dressing.
So 3 tablespoons would be your daily allowance.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. Which is like who only puts 3 tablespoons of salad dressing?
I'm drowning that sucker.
Yeah,
like a salad dressing soup with some lettuce floating in it.
Thank you. No longer. I'm no longer allowed to do that. But anyway, so the prognosis is sort of the doctor says that I you know, diet, exercise, and getting through sort of stressful period in my life is like I could be mostly normal again in a few months.
Let me ask you this: can you put the lime in the coconut and then you drink it down? Can you, doctor, can you put the lime in the coconut?
I have never put a lime in a coconut, nor will I ever put a lime in a coconut.
There's a callback for those of you who are faithful listeners to last week's show.
Speaking of which, from we posted on the Facebook page and we asked for feedback because we talked about some changes to the competition at the International Photographic Competition by PPA, and we asked for some feedback on the episode, and so we got a good bunch of it. And so Steve writes in, totally with Gary on that terrible song, but do appreciate being able to hate it on a more educated level.
There you go.
So
there
thank you, Steve.
Well, we have big changes in the Perry household because we brought home a new puppy this week.
Yes. Cute, too.
Yeah, very cute puppy. Brought home the puppy, and things are going great with her. She's doing good. You know, we're trying to potty train her, and she's sleeping about 4 hours through the night, so that's kind of cool. But what was great was, only a photographer, right? Bring her home, and within 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, let's get her in the studio, because I have to get a first day shot of the puppy. She's still a little tired in that picture, and I take the shot, and my studio wasn't set up, so, you know, I had to improvise and get the shot. And then I put that shot online, and within hours, I had several pet photographers contacting me to tell me what I did wrong. So,
did you really? Well, your dog is black on black on black.
Let me tell you something. You want to have respect for pet photographers, get yourself a black on black dog with fur, like, you know, so the fur over the eyes and all this, and try and photograph that thing. Because forget your normal setup with the 45-degree light and your reflector. Normally, the reflector on the other side, my reflector is so bright that it becomes a kicker. And in this case, the fur just sucks up everything. I mean, like the reflector doesn't even show. And also, if you don't get light absolutely hard onto that offside eye, you're not going to see the eye at all. The eye is just gone.
Catch lights work differently.
Yeah, so I ended up having to practically shoot it flat light, you know, in order to be sure I could get both eyes in the shot. So now it's a challenge. Now I'm like, okay, well, game on. I'm going to figure out how to light this black dog. Barbara Beetsemeter contacted me, and she's like, oh, cute puppy. Listen, with black dogs, you have to be sure and turn their face into the light. And I'm thinking, yeah, no problem with a puppy that's 8 weeks old. Just if you could just turn your head 45 degrees to the left.
Could you, hey, Maggie, could you just tilt your nose?
A little bit to the left, and then we'll be able to get, that's exactly where I want, right? Just where the light just caresses the outside of the eye socket. That's
what I
want.
And then she pees on the floor.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, that's a good one. But, yeah, wow, talk about absorbing the light. Whew.
Yeah. So how is the adjustment of the new family member going for you?
Well, as expected, my children love the puppy. And then an hour in, you know, the puppy is a big pain in the butt and they would just soon not have to bother with the puppy. That's pretty much exactly what we knew would happen. And so my wife and I are doing everything. But that's okay because we love the puppy and it's the cutest puppy in the world. And you know, that's, you know, that going in, as long as you know, it's like a baby. As long as you know going in, your world is going to be turned upside down for a couple of weeks and you're ready for that. Then you just, well, with a baby much longer, then you just go, okay, you know, I'm just going to have to deal with this and that's fine. And
yeah, I wish you could potty train a human baby in 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
That would make my life easier.
But she's wonderful and she follows you around from room to room and she plays and she bites everything and you know, just a good puppy. Good puppy.
Here's
all the way
a serious
around.
Serious question. Have you started her an Instagram account yet?
No, I have not, and I will not. But I am putting pictures in Instagram stories, and I posted the other day, are you sick of puppy pictures yet? And only a third of the people who follow me were like, yes, we are sick of puppy pictures. So I still have like a 75% maybe rate of people who are not sick of the puppy pictures, but I'm hoping to beat that number down in the next week to the point where everyone is sick to death of seeing my puppy.
That's a good goal. Goals are important.
Something to achieve, you know. Make everyone just sick to death of this stupid black dog. That's what I'm shooting for.
What are you going to do?
But pet photography, man. Whew.
Yeah, it's a totally other thing. And I know a couple of tricks to get him to look at the camera, but man, it's difficult because it's basically you're dealing with either puppies, which are don't listen. And I like whenever you see those images that photographers take, and it's like 12 puppies.
Oh, yeah, that's 100 shots per puppy.
Yeah, it's like, how do you, you know, those shots started to appear a lot more once Photoshop came out. More of those.
Yeah. Yeah, to be fair, I shot 22 frames of the puppy to get the one that I put online, those of you who are looking at my puppy picture. So I was pretty happy with 22 frames of a puppy who had been in the house literally for 5 minutes that I was able to get something. But yeah, it's a challenge, no doubt, taking a picture of a puppy. And except when it comes to the Photoshop work, oh my God, smoothing skin on a puppy doesn't take much work.
You know? Yeah, they don't have acne.
Yeah, all you have to do is go in and content-aware fill where there's spots on the fur. Really easy. Really, the post-production work, really easy on a puppy.
And for those of you getting ready to write angry hate emails into Bure about post-production on puppies, that's questions at photobombpodcast.com or facebook.com/photobombpodcast.
Compared to, I'm just saying, compared to post-production work on a teenager with an acne problem.
Oh, yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah, come on. I think we can all agree that the puppy is a little bit easier.
The longer I'm in photography, the less I like retouching, the less I care about it. Like, right. It used to be fun to go in and toy with my image, and now it's just it's the puppy for me. The retouching is the puppy. I'm tired of the puppy. I have to take it on a walk. I have to feed it, but I don't enjoy it, you know? And so I've been outsourcing more and more editing. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the way to go. In fact, I think I want to outsource everything, even the photography in my business. outsource my whole business. It would be great.
I feel like you've been moving towards that business model for a while. I would like to just stay home and play on my phone, and everyone else does everything, and I just collect the checks.
All right. Well, that sounds really good, actually. So we've got next week, I'm going to London to speak for the SWPP at that conference, which is fantastic. So if you're in the UK, check that out, swpp.co.uk, and go to the convention page, and all the information is there. But I will be in London. We have three massive jobs that week, and I won't be in the country.
I'm doing one of them.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I have to go shoot a big group picture for you.
Right. It's that for some that week of the January the 14th, that whole I've gotten so many inquiries for corporate stuff that week.
Of course. You're going to be literally out of the country. That's when the calls come in.
That week when I'm going to be gone. Yeah. And so we have a convention that's going to be about 500 headshots. And we have the big group shoot with you. And then I've got two back-to-back 12-hour event shooting jobs. So I'll be managing a team of people doing all this work. And this is probably going to be the biggest money week of the year for the studio.
And you're not even in the country.
And I'm not even going to be in the country.
No, and we wonder about the high blood pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's funny because Kevin, who's one of the guys that shoots for me a lot, I was telling him about the high blood pressure thing, and he's like, you? Hypertension? Get right out of town.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
So we talked last week a little bit about this, and wanted to recap it a little bit this week because I went onto my Facebook page and I asked the peoples how they felt about the new potential wedding degree that they were proposing at the PPA. And let me just say, also, to those of you who listen to the podcast and aren't in the PPA, I do want to apologize for the time we spend often talking about PPA stuff. But Gary and I are so involved with the PPA that that we do talk about it a lot. But also, so much of it is just interesting conversation. Like, stuff that happens at WPPI is interesting to me, even though I'm not a member of WPPI, because it is a member of a large group of photographers, and what they do is interesting to me. So I asked about it, and I let people talk about it and to get the feedback on it. And then I came in with my two cents as far as the wedding degree goes. And I think that what I'm seeing is there's like two camps. There's people who...
Can you just recap the changes very briefly before we do that for anybody who didn't listen to last week?
The Professional Photographer Association of America has two degrees. And they are the Master Photographer's degree and the Master Artist degree. So every year at the International Photographic Competition, IPC, you compete. You can enter up to four images. Each of those images can receive up to two merits for a total of eight merits a year. When you have achieved 13 merits in competition as well as 12 merits in some other service to the PPA, 25 merits total, you receive your degree in whichever one of those two categories or two competitions you were competing in. So, they are proposing a new degree, and it will be the wedding photographer's degree. So, you would become a master wedding photographer. And they are doing this in direct response to the fact that wedding photographers don't compete in the photographic open category much anymore. And the reason they don't do it is because they feel like it's not fair to them, because degree of difficulty is not taken into effect in the judging. And with wedding photographers, it's all about degree of difficulty. It's all about the fact that you have 5 minutes to get this shot, and then you have to get them into the reception. And your images are judged by the same standards as the person who took a puppy into a studio and did 200 frames. So it's very hard to compete on that level. So they are proposing giving them their own competition, their own bus to ride in, where everything will be judged maybe just a little bit differently, and more consideration will be given to degree of difficulty. So there has been quite a bit of debate about this thing. And one of the things I'm noticing is it seems like most of the people who are against it are A, people who don't shoot weddings, and B, people who already have their masters. You know? And I'm not, almost anyone who doesn't have a degree or is a wedding shooter is for it. Absolutely for it. And that's who these people are for. And the big statistic we have to look at on this particular thing is this. They sent out a survey, and they surveyed the members, asking them specifically about this sort of thing. And of the people that they asked, the wedding photographers that they asked, like 65% of them said they would be interested in competing in this sort of a competition.
Right. Like, if you have a problem with it, ask yourself, is this for me?
Yeah, is this for me, A, and
no,
B...
No, I'm not the person that this would be for.
If you're an organization that is supposed to serve its members, and 65% of your membership wants something, aren't you duty-bound to try your best to give them that thing that they want?
I believe they call that a majority.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That's about a two-thirds majority, pretty much. Yeah.
So I think that one of the problems... I know that one of the problems that I ran into for years was saying I wish they would judge the wedding category differently, was that people would feel that somehow it would lessen the degree, that, you know, if you make things easier, if you make it easier by their definition to get a master photographer's degree, that somehow cheapens the degree that they earned. You know, I was hazed when I was in college, therefore you're going to be hazed. You know, that's the sort of thing. And what's funny about this is, this absolutely doesn't do that. This absolutely preserves the quote-unquote integrity of the Photographic Open, because the Photographic Open will remain unchanged. Your degree, if you have a master's degree, will not be changed. There will be no changes to your competition whatsoever. We're going to take the wedding photographers, and we're going to put them over here in their own thing, and you can talk about that all you want to, but your degree is not changed. Your degree is the same. Now, consider that, you know, the alternative would be, what if we just changed your degree program to make it easier for the wedding photographers, quote unquote? Well, then you really wouldn't like that, would you? I mean, I guess when you think about it, if you need to do something about the wedding photographers, this is the best thing to keep the naysayers at bay. And yet they are naysaying, Gary.
Well, just to put a lid on this, or, you know, just put a little bow on it, because I don't think we need to beat this dead horse too much more, is that there's a lot of people who respond negatively to any kind of changes,
right?
Especially in an organization that is 150 years old and has a long history of a particular way of doing things. And I'm sure any change you make, especially to competition and rules and standards, has been debated and debated and debated. Ultimately, what's happening is this is in the spirit of trying to be more inclusive, trying to change in response to the industry. And so it's not for me. I'm not a wedding photographer. I probably won't go after this degree. But, you know, I think it's a good move that will open up the door for even more moves later on. And I think that it's positive. But what were the people, what was the most feedback you were getting? Because you, and by the way, if you're not a member, Bouray has a great Facebook group called Pro Photo Talk with Bouray Perry, where he posts goofy things, funny things, interesting things, and pictures of his dog.
Yes, so, and stuff like this. I felt like the biggest feedback I was getting were people who were concerned about how it would be judged. There were a few people who were like, we're just against it. But then other people were more along the lines of, yeah, I love the idea, but it's got to be judged right. It's got to be judged right. They want, just like you and I, Gary, they want it to be wedding day only, images shot at a wedding, minimal compositing. You know, minimal drop-in stuff. They wanted to reflect a real wedding photographer's job, which is working under pressure, under a long wedding day, and getting good images. And so my goal is, if this thing goes, and I'm a counselor and I will be voting for it, if this thing passes and they do it, I'm going to be, as I have been for the last 4 years, shouting at every single person who's involved and screaming at them to please, please make sure that this does not become another thing where it's, I took a small bride and I dropped her into a picture of the Grand Canyon, and now I'm scoring really well, and the guy who took a picture of the bride at the Lions Club doesn't stand a chance. You know, I want to see some chubby brides. I want to see some bad locations. I want to see people doing what we do best, which is taking a bad situation and turning it into something good. Because that's what to me, that's a really good wedding photographer.
Well, getting feedback from last week's episode where we went into detail on this, Bob writes in, I'd love a new wedding photography competition. I know that I shouldn't waste my time entering wedding photos into the general competition, and I'm not interested in working with models, so I just don't compete. If the new degree track is added, I'll be in for sure.
There you go. See, and that's the person the degree is for. That's who we're trying to get back involved with the IPC program. So, and if it doesn't work, we lose nothing because it costs nothing to do. It will be done right along with the other two degree programs with the judges that we already have in place, although they will be instructed, I'm sure, to change a little bit in their judging. So it costs us nothing to try it.
So what's interesting, though, is that I was thinking when you're saying it costs nothing, I was like, well, they got to print up all the, or they got to make up all the ribbons and, you know, thing for the degree ceremony and everything at Imaging USA. And do you think that there's going to be kind of like a race to be the first one to get the degree?
Oh, God knows. There will absolutely be a race to be the first one to become a master wedding photographer. It won't be me. Because, I mean, well, it'll be several people. It'll be a two-year race. There will be four people,
and all their last names are all Munoz.
Right. It'll be the Munoz boys will be in there, and Shirk might try and get in there. But there will be some guys who will absolutely be like, I want to be the first. They'll get eight the first year, and then they'll get the other five that they need the next year, and that'll be that.
Yeah, done and done. All right, cool. Hey, just a little more on the feedback that we got from last week's episode. I know a few of you wrote in. I got a really nice note here from Kelly. Happy New Year, guys, from Adelaide, Australia. Thanks for making my workday on New Year's Eve some fun. Nice, somebody in Australia listening. Well, thanks, Kelly. We appreciate you listening to us.
And she's in Australia, so she heard the show 3.5 days after the rest of us, right?
I don't
how that works.
Yeah, that's their 3.5 days ahead.
Because of the time change?
That's how time zones
work. We upload it to the internet. She gets it 3.5 days later.
Right. Correct. Okay. Although I'm pretty sure their internet in Australia might be faster than ours. Jeremy writes in, missed you blokes, been on holiday in Japan. I'll catch up later when I get back to Australia. Oh, and Happy New Year. We have two Australian listeners write in the same week. That was pretty cool.
We've always been pretty big in Australia. Actually, yeah, even from day one, we've had listeners in Australia.
Should we go and do it? The thing is like we could go and do a live show in Australia, but everywhere in Australia is so far away from everywhere else in Australia. We'd be like, we're going to go to Melbourne and do a live show. And then everybody who listens to us could be in seven different parts of the country, 1,000 miles apart, and go, I'm not going to that.
Don't you think people who have never been to Australia or paid attention to Australia, they think that Australia is like the size of Delaware?
Right.
And Australia
is the size of America.
Huge. It's the size of America. Yeah.
It's a continent and a country.
Yeah, it's big, unbelievably big. So yeah, there's no like, I'm just going to Australia for a day or two to see the see the see the country. No, you're not.
Yeah. It's a great country where every single piece of wildlife is trying to kill you.
Yes.
They have some deadly, terrifying things.
My mother-in-law took a cruise around Australia, and it took a month.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So it tells you how big Australia is.
Yeah. So, hey, thank you, Aussies. We're proud to have you listening to the show, and thanks for spending your time with us. So, this new year is coming up, and we are going to be doing some cool things. Interestingly enough, we are going to start a YouTube channel. We're going to post video versions of the podcast, so that should be cool if you want to check that out. We'll be posting about that in the group, and going to be basically trying to create more content. And so, I think that we're going to ramp up our game a little bit with Photobomb this year. I think that'll be a good thing.
I'm against ramping in general. But okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay. Don't worry. I'll do the work.
You don't have to. In that case, I'm all for it. I'm 100% behind you doing all the work.
Bruce, like, whatever you want to do.
As long as I don't have to do it. Yeah, you can be like, we're going to wear hats. Okay, send me the hat. If I have to go buy the hat, I'm out.
We're going to wear hats?
Yeah.
So you had a news story that I thought was interesting that you wanted to
get. Yeah. There's a news story. There were a couple of copyright stories this week. I don't know if we'll get to both of them. But there was a news story about a guy who got banned by a band called Arch Enemy. And we've seen this sort of thing happen before with Taylor Swift, for example. But it was an interesting story. So to paraphrase it down, this guy was a photographer at an Arch Enemy concert. This is a metal band. I guess in Europe, at a Dutch music festival. Who knew the Dutch love the metal?
They do.
But they do. And he was credentialed to shoot there. And he took a picture of the lead singer, great picture, by the way, and he posted it on his Instagram. And then the band reposted it, complete with his watermark, and I think attributed to him. And he was cool with that. And then the woman who made the clothes that the lead singer was wearing in the picture, she reposted the picture under the brand name of her clothing line, saying, wow, look at, she's wearing my clothes and they look so great on her.
Cool metal pants.
Yes, vests and everything.
So
the photographer contacted her and said, you're in violation of my copyright. But you can give me $500 or you can donate $100 to a charity and we'll call it even. Well, this woman contacted the management for the band and told them what had happened. The management then immediately removed the picture from their Facebook, from their Instagram feed. Everyone took it down immediately. And then the management wrote a letter back to the photographer and said, we took it all down. Everything's fine. You will no longer be welcome to photograph at our shows. Because we don't want people photographing at our shows who are going to try and extort us. And furthermore, I'm going to tell everyone I know that they shouldn't allow you to photograph at their shows. And so that's it. That's basically the story.
Is this the one, too, where the clothing maker shop closed?
There's other little, like, for instance, the lead singer came out and said that, like, the woman who made the clothes, she doesn't have, like, a store or anything. She's a one-woman operation. The clothes that the singer was wearing that she was saying, hey, look, she's wearing my clothes. These aren't clothes you can buy. They were made specifically for the singer. But it was posted under her brand, such and such as clothes or whatever. And, there's a lot to unpack in this story because I get the photographer saying she's a brand. She's using my photograph to try and drive traffic to her brand. Therefore, I should be paid. But I also get the other side of them saying they didn't take his watermark off the picture. He had put it on Instagram. But if it had been, if Nike had taken it and put it on their Instagram, and even though they'd included the watermark and said, look, she's wearing our shoes, I absolutely would have been hitting up Nike for a check. You know, so is the size of your business something that has to be taken into consideration before we decide that you shouldn't be taking our photography? You know, and then the bigger question is what they're trying to get, what the outrage seems to be is the fact that he's now been banned from shooting these shows, which brings us back to the age old question of who owns the photograph. Well, he owns the photograph if he took a photograph of the singer. He absolutely owns the photograph. But we're in such a slippery slope now with social media.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't, you know, Taylor Swift has got it. If you want to shoot a Taylor Swift concert, you have to sign away your rights.
Really?
Yeah. So you have to, if you want to be a credentialed photographer at a Taylor Swift concert, you sign a piece of paper giving them full rights to your images.
Woof.
Yeah, and I say woof too, but at the same time, that's her deal. And if you don't want to do it, then don't shoot her concert.
Yeah,
she,
that's
she,
fair.
You know, business is business, and she has every right to do that if she wants to do that. And people get their panties in a wad about it, but business is business. And if she can find people who will sign away their rights and shoot her concert, then okay. The problem is not with her demanding that. The problem was with the photographers who allow her to do it to them. That's who you get mad at. You don't get mad at the people who are putting up the bad rules. You get mad at the people who say okay.
Yeah, it would be awesome if no one wanted to photograph
right.
Taylor Swift
if
concert.
Taylor
but
Swift
still, people are going
right.
to go photograph.
If Taylor Swift couldn't get any photographers at her concert and couldn't get any press as a result of it, she'd change that rule immediately. It's not her fault. People will do whatever they can get away with.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm the manager of this band. The whole, I'm going to tell other people not to credential you. Yeah, that was snarky. But... you know, I can see being like, you know, we're not going to have you shoot our concerts anymore because what's the point, dude? You know, if you're going to, if we don't want to have to worry about this and everyone else who's shooting our concert, you know, when they put stuff on Instagram, we share it or whatever. And nobody seems to care. You're the only one doing this to us and we just don't need the hassle. So we're not going to let you shoot for us anymore. I totally understand that. I get that it's wrong in that we own the rights of our photographs and we get the right to do whatever we want. But I totally get that from their perspective, you're the only guy who's, you're the only peg that's sticking up. So I'm just going to hammer you down and move on.
Yeah. And the tallest nail gets the first hand.
Right. So, you know, and I'm against it. Yes. Our work should be respected. Yes. We should have full control of our work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But as long as there are a million people out there willing to do it for free, as long as they are willing to let all their pictures go away, we are creating that culture where if you stand up for yourself, you are the outlier. It is not the fault of the ignorant people who run the concert. It is the fault of your fellow photographers in the pit who are not standing up for their rights. That's who you blame.
Well, you know, what would stop that photographer from making a gallery with images with, you know, low res with watermarks and sending the link to the band and being like, hey, I got these. These are my, you know, highlights from your show. Would you guys be interested in using any of these for promotion? And if so, you know, this is what the fee would be.
Nothing would stop them from doing that except for the fact that there'd be another 20 photographers who were sending their pictures to the band saying, here you go, free, take them. Have fun. Right. Thank you for letting me come see the show for free. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, and people are saying, and I know some of the comments were saying that they wouldn't have gone after the woman with the clothes unless she had used it in print advertising or something like that. If it's just social media. And then other people said, just social media. Social media is print advertising. Social media is the main way that people advertise. A lot of businesses advertise now. If we're going to just give that away, then that's the whole ballgame.
Yeah, I think that there's nothing the photographer can do, and by making a stink about it, they're just going to end up losing.
Right.
Like, for something like that, it's not worth taking legal action because there's just no recourse that's going to be financially viable for you to do that. But it is an opportunity to reach out to the clothing company instead of going, hey, pay me money. You could start to create a relationship there. Maybe you could eventually even find a client, like who's photographing her clothes. You know, like there's a great way. Hey, you like my work. You like my pictures. I don't know. I would kind of use this. I've had people, like I photographed some people and had Instagram accounts repost, you know, and not give me credit and stuff. And yeah, it hacks me off. But like at the end of the day, it's not going to affect my business one way or the other. I serve a local community. And so my social media is right. about engaging with an audience that's local to me. I don't have necessarily the desire to have 100,000, a million Facebook Instagram followers because that's not going to bring me any business.
Well, are we reaching a point where Instagram is just this big pool? And if you're going to throw something into that pool, you just got to kiss it goodbye?
It's close to the truth, without a doubt. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're putting your images online. They're gone, man. They're gone. Like, you can't, you know, and not to say that it's okay to steal images, because it's not. Even Google's made some moves in the last year or two to sort of curtail some of that. But, you know, you have to basically, if an image gets put online or on my Instagram, it's always going to be one that's already been paid for by the client. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not posting images right. that... And so I've had what I wanted to get out of it, everything I could reasonably expect to get paid for it. But, you know, if you're shooting images and you want to sell them, then, you know, get a stock agency involved and do that. But if you're going to put, you know, and then save your best images and put them there and then sell them that way through an agent, don't post your images on Instagram if you don't want people to repost them.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know much about the business model of a concert photographer. But if you're credentialed to shoot a concert, how do you make your money? By then selling those pictures to Us Magazine and stuff like that, I guess, the same way that that paparazzi do, right? And
sure.
if that's the case, you upload those images to a special service that is seen only by, you know, magazines and stuff, and they buy your picture from that service. You don't put them on Instagram. You know, I mean, you're giving away the cow.
Yeah. I think that the point is that this is a bunch of amateurs, from the photographer to the band to the clothing company. They're just a bunch of people who, you know, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, the photographer's a lawyer by trade.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't mean amateurs as a dirty word. Amateur is, you know, it's just a bunch of amateurs. If it was a photographer who is used to working in the commercial space and selling stock images and working as a stringer, it wouldn't be a problem. He would know what to do. And right. If the band had their stuff together, they would have known to ask permission before, because I don't know how many times you're going to have to see it over the next decade is bands and businesses going down in flames for infringing upon a copyright. And
right.
Once the internet gets a
right.
hold of it,
right.
the internet gets a hold of it, you're done. Because then you'll just be berated by an army of copyright trolls and you have to shut your store.
Well, it sounds horrible to say it, but I kind of get it. I mean, it's Instagram. I'm scrolling through Instagram. I see a picture. Oh, isn't the whole point of things like Instagram for us to share pictures that we see? So I share the picture that you put up, but because now it's on my feed and I didn't remove your watermark, but now because it's on my feed, I owe you money.
Right? Wouldn't you want more people to see it? I mean, okay, if I said I'll give you all of my, if I could give you all of my Instagram followers to your account, and then you would now have, let's say, 3,000 more Instagram followers, and then they all saw your post, you'd be fine with that. But if those same 3,000 people see it on my Instagram account, now I owe you money.
There needs to be a way. I guess there isn't a way. There needs to be a way to share a picture on Instagram, but have it not really sharing on my feed, but rather just like encapsulating your feed, so that what I'm doing is showing your feed, so that I'm just sharing your feed with my viewers, and now if they click it, they get your profile. You know, that would be, then it would be absolutely beneficial to you, because the whole point for putting it on Instagram was that you want people to see it.
Well, Twitter's got a built-in retweet feature, which also quotes, you can quote the tweet of the person that you're, you know what I mean?
Like, right, if you hit that, it takes you to the original tweet and takes you to, you know, so you can
right,
go to
it,
their
and
profile.
Right, and it'll show the tweet that you're,
right.
show, you know, and the person in the account. And that, you know, Instagram doesn't have like that built in.
Like, maybe I think maybe something like that would slow a little bit this down, a little bit of this.
Yeah,
down.
I mean, I'm sure I'd be fine if you could actually get my account in front of those people and not just my picture. I'd be fine with that. Yeah, I think that'd be cool. You know, it's like, oh, they shared. Like, if I post something on Facebook and somebody shares it, I don't get mad. You know, but if they were to right click and download my image or screen cap it and then repost it on their account and say, look at this image that, you know, Gary Hughes did or whatever,
yeah,
removing
my watermark.
That would irritate me.
Yeah. And you know, make your watermark your Instagram handle if you're going to do that. So that at least if they keep your watermark on there and it goes up, there's your Instagram handle, and maybe someone will go look at your Instagram feed. But what they really need to do is they need to tag you in the post so people can just click there and go straight to your feed and follow you. Because the whole
right.
point of you putting pictures on Instagram is that you're trying to get more followers.
Right.
So if we can figure out a way so that when people share your picture, they are making it easier for people to find you and give you followers, then I think a lot of this would go away. You know, and you would be glad if Nike reposted your picture. Boom, I picked up 100,000 followers because Nike reposted my picture on their feed, which is what I really wanted.
Absolutely.
You know,
that.
So that's what they need. I guess they just need to improve the app.
If you're looking to sell your images, don't post them on Instagram or Facebook or anywhere else before you sell them.
Yes. The whole point of putting them on Facebook and Instagram is because you're simply trying to increase your reach.
Right.
Because if you're hoping to sell the images, you're just hurting yourself by doing that, I think.
Right. So, yeah, get a good stock agency involved and then make sure that you get paid for images. Otherwise, I'm pretty much going to have to say it's your own fault. I think everybody in that situation was kind of a dummy, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, okay, in other copyright news, I thought this was very interesting. Video games are getting starting to get sued, and as a result, they are starting to seek out protections because tattoo artists are starting to come forward and say, okay, you've got a tattoo, you've got LeBron James in your NBA, you know, 2000 video game, and you've got my tattoos accurately recreated on this avatar. Those are my tattoos. I created that art. I own that copyright, and you have not achieved permission to reproduce it.
Say that again?
Tattoo artists are starting to sue. A few are starting to sue to the point now that NFL players are being advised that if they go to get a tattoo, they need to get the tattoo artist to sign a release when they do that tattoo, so that if that player is ever put into a video game, that tattoo can be reproduced on their body in the game.
Oh, that's actually, you know, that makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's on your body, it doesn't matter, it's my art. I created that art, and you can't reproduce it without my permission.
Yeah, see, the thing that's blowing my mind is that video games have gotten to the point where they're making sure everybody's got the correct tattoos in Madden.
Yeah, they're so photorealistic now, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. I just have been out of video games for so long that's just kind of blowing my mind.
And the tattoos have become such a big deal. I mean, there's huge stars, just like in the world of soccer and football, certainly. But it all started with Ricky Williams, the running back Ricky Williams, where his tattoo artist sued EA Games several years ago because they reproduced several of his tattoos in the game on the cover art for the game.
Huh.
Yeah. And they were like, that's my tattoo on the cover of this video game that you're selling. And you didn't ask me for permission to reproduce my tattoo. copyrights, man. It's a new age. It's a new dawn of copyright protection. The internet
if I was going to law school, I'd be going into intellectual property because that's right. Going to be it's the Wild West right now. Intellectual property law. It's crazy
because it's not a picture of the player. That's the thing. If it was a picture of the player. Okay, you'd be okay, right? Like, because, I mean, they put pictures of players and they broadcast them on TV and everything, and they've got their tattoos. I guess the tattoo artists have no recourse against that. But when it comes to a video game, it is literally a cartoon. It is literally a drawing, a recreation of your art. You know, an exact recreation of your art.
I think that guy, how he came up with the idea for to sue EA, and he's like sitting around smoking a big fatty and just going...
They settled.
Hey, man, you know what? Like, I wonder if I could get money for that.
Yeah.
You see the new Madden cover? Like, dude. Yeah.
Here's my question. At what point does it become derivative? Because if it's derivative, right, then you don't have a lawsuit.
Right. Like, what's his face? Prince. That guy. Not Prince, the musician.
I know. Yeah. Right. That guy. Right. So,
the copy
artist. But I mean, it's not derivative because they are doing a detailed, exact replica of your artwork. It's not, they're not changing it in any way. In fact, they're trying to be as realistic as possible. And tattoo artists can, in fact, sue if that happens.
So, and more copyright news, you know, we just recently had had a whole bunch of stuff go public domain. This is the year of the big public domain dam bursting, because it used to be 50 years or so, I think, was the longest something could go before it was public domain. And as we've talked about on the show before, years ago it was Disney that lobbied the government, basically, to Congress to change the law so that they could keep Mickey Mouse private instead of public domain.
And do you know what congressman was the one who spearheaded that bill? The bill is named after him.
Donald Duck?
No. Close.
The Honorable Donald Duck?
No. It is the Sonny Bono copyright protection law.
Is it really?
Congressman Sonny Bono was the one who championed that, because he has a bunch of songs that he's written, and he wanted those songs protected longer too. So they extended it to 25 years. So there was a 25-year moratorium where nothing, you know, everything that was supposed to come up in the next 25 years did not, because everything had gotten an extra 25 years pushed on. Right. And this was the first year, it's 25 years since the law has passed. It was the first year where stuff started coming into the public domain again.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of stuff that you can now use, replicate, download, copy, do whatever you want with it because it's public domain.
Right.
And there's a really great episode. If you got Netflix, check out Adam Ruins Everything, as they got all those episodes on Netflix. And there's one on this particular subject.
I absolutely will check that out. I will enjoy that immensely.
Yeah, I know. I thought of you when I was watching it because we were talking about it.
Yeah.
So we have a question written in from a listener to talk about today before we wrap things up. And so this is right up our alley. Jimmy writes in, I need a new camera body and I'm having trouble deciding. I'm trying to decide if I should go with the Canon 5D Mark IV or the newer and cheaper EOS R with lens adapter. I'm using the Mark II right now.
Well,
what are your thoughts?
Well, I have thoughts, but I feel you are the person to answer this question in great detail because you own both of those cameras. You don't own the R,
right?
But you do own the you own the 4. I own the 3. Okay, so she's you're on the cusp, and you've got to make the decision: do I stay with the DSLR, or do I go ahead and make the jump to mirrorless?
Right. Okay. So, Jimmy, let me just first address this by saying upgrading from the Mark II to the Mark IV is going to be like going from a donkey to a rocket ship.
It's a huge upgrade. From the two to the three is a big upgrade.
The 2 to the 4 is going to, you're going to be so thrilled with the 5D4 if you get it, because it is a fantastic, beautiful little workhorse of a camera. Now, that being said, I don't know that. It's really going to depend on the work that you do, because remember, with the EOS R, if you're a wedding photographer, it's only got the one SD card slot instead of two slots and stuff like that. So I don't think that this generation of cameras coming out, first of all, you're going to need to go mirrorless. And if you're going to go mirrorless, you might as well go in and then start picking up those lenses, because everything is going to be there in 5 years. That being said, if you get a 5D Mark IV, that is going to last you. It's not going to last you forever. Those, you know, I'm upgrading camera bodies every 4 or 5 years. And by the time you are done with that 5D4, you know, there will be better and higher end levels of those mirrorless cameras for you to go with. However, the EOS R has some really, really cool stuff about it, and I think it would be comparable. You're not going to save much on weight by the time you add all the lenses to it, but it's got some really, really neat features, and if you're going to go mirrorless, go mirrorless. Otherwise, I think that the 4 is an incredible camera. The R is going to be... it's going to be really, really great in a lot of ways. It's got the eye tracking and face tracking and stuff, and it's got some really fantastic features, including the -6 stops focusing. So it's going to be really good at low light focusing if that's what your thing. And it would probably be a better camera for video because it's got that fully articulating screen, which is really, really nice. The 5D4 screen is just flush. It doesn't tilt. It doesn't dip. It doesn't do anything. It's really, I don't think you can go wrong either way personally, but if you're just trying to save some money, because I believe the 4, the 5D4 is still $3,000.
Right.
And with the adapter, you're going to pay 24 or whatever for the EOS R. And then, I don't know.
I think what you said originally is the big selling point. What do you plan on shooting? Because I can tell you, if it's me and I'm doing weddings and events still, I'm absolutely going with the 4. I'm going with the Mark IV. Because I need the two cards. I need the speed of it. I need et cetera. But if I was doing studio pictures and headshots and that sort of thing, I would make the I would make the jump to the R. I'm going to be shooting tethered a lot anyway, so I don't necessarily need the second card, and that's the future. And so I would make that jump now, and like you said, I'd sell off my lenses. I would start buying the lenses specifically for the camera and et cetera. But as an event photographer, I still think that the DSLRs are better, unless maybe you're going to the Sony.
Now, you're not going to be able to shoot pro with the EOS R without the adapter, just because the variety of lenses isn't there yet.
Right.
And so that's going to happen over the next few years. I think you're safe to go without going mirrorless yet if you're staying with Canon, but I don't think you'd regret the R. And if you're doing video, I think you'll be happier with the R, a little bit lighter. And my feedback that I'm getting from a lot of places about the new lens systems is that once you start working with these lenses that are built for mirrorless cameras, that you will never, ever want to go back.
How long do you think it's going to be before we see... Because the next mirrorless model from Canon will be the upscale one.
Right, yeah.
You think it'll be this year?
Actually, no, I don't think it is. I think the next one might be even lower.
Really?
I think it might. You might get an R series that might even not be full frame.
My question is, how long can she hold out? What if the real advice here is stay with your Mark II for a year, and Canon's going to have a new camera for you that's going to be two card maybe, and it's going
to
be
you can't advise anybody to stay with the Mark II at this point. That camera system's 10 years old.
It's my backup camera. I would have no problem shooting a wedding with
it. I had it as my backup camera until like 2 years ago, and it's a great camera. I'm not saying it's not, but you're talking about the parts and stuff in it. There's going to be repairing and failures over time, and like for me, it's a reliability issue. So I wouldn't have two cameras that are now two versions old as my primary cameras in my kit. You know, I would want to have something that, and not to say that a totally new camera can't break.
Yeah, you know, but sure. you and I, you know, there's a lot of people listening to the show and talking about camera gear who aren't doing the volume that you and I do. You know, so
yeah, I do quite a lot. Yeah.
My biggest problem would be in staying with it would be that you could be holding on for, it could be 2 years before Canon finally comes out with the camera that we really want them to come out with for professional shooters, full frame and mirrorless. That could be 2 years away.
And honestly, I don't think you're saving that much money, Jimmy, by going with the 5D, with the EOS R, because even though it's $2,200, then you got to buy the lens adapter, and then you got to buy batteries, and then you got to buy all new tether cables because it uses USB-C instead of USB 2 or USB 3. Like, by the time you get all of the insulary stuff that you're going to have to do to get your camera into your workflow, you're going to be pretty close to what you would pay. And with a 5D 4, you're just going to buy the body and it'll work with everything you've already got.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point.
But yeah, anyway, so that's my two cents. But either way, I don't think you can go wrong. They're both great cameras.
All right.
And there you have it.
All right, good advice. I guess time to wrap this thing up.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and call it a love story. Why not?
We are just 1 week, 2 weeks away from Imaging USA.
Mm-hmm.
This will drop. It'll be 13 days from when this drops on Monday, and we are hoping to see all of you guys there. We're going to be there having a good time. Imaging USA in Atlanta, Georgia. I will be speaking on the platform. Please come and see me speak. Flashes, Files, and Fast Glass. That will be first thing Monday morning, and I will be teaching all of the things that you don't want your friends to know that you don't understand about photography. I made a list of the things that I really didn't understand about photography until years after I had been doing it for a living, and I decided I'm going to teach these things. I wish someone had taught these things to me in my first year, because I just couldn't quite grasp them and didn't quite understand them. And now I do, and I wish I had understood them right off the bat, because I didn't realize at the time that understanding these things will make you a better photographer. So come see my thing, and Gary's going to be there just being Gary.
Yeah, no, I'm actually will be doing some host work for Front Row, which is a pretty new thing. Front Row, if you go to watchfrontrow.com, that's it's basically like a photography education website. So I recorded with them, and I'm going to be doing some host work, kind of like you do with IUSA Live when you're there.
Oh, that's right. And if you're not going to be there, or even if you are, please be sure and like the Professional Photographers of America Facebook page, because I will be doing live shows four times a day from the convention. So if you're not going to be there, be sure and check those out or watch them on repeat, because you can see everything that's going to be happening at the convention.
Yeah, and I missed Imaging USA last year, so I watched a lot of your live stuff that you were doing, and it was a real bummer to not be there with all my friends. You know, it was really, but it was cool to get to see what was going on. So that's very enjoyable. Also, don't forget that the award and degree ceremony on Monday night, Bure Perry will be receiving his Master Photographer degree, and we're going to be sitting in the Boo Lever section, and so come sit with me and scream your bloody head off as Bure takes his walk of fame across the stage and claims his degree. We're going to be really, really happy for our boy, so wear your best homemade Boo Lever t-shirt and come sit with me, and let's scream our heads off and make Bure really embarrassed and uncomfortable.
And if you're wondering why I am only getting mine this year when Gary has had his for a few years and most of my friends have had theirs for a few years,
son,
it's because I've entered mostly wedding images from actual real-world weddings.
Wow, that hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts me. Like I took an easier path or something.
No, you didn't take an easier path. You took a smarter path. And I said mostly because I got my final... I got my final merits this last year with images that were not wedding images, because I finally gave up. I finally got to the point where I realized, you know, I'm pushing this rock uphill, and I just need to start entering images that have a better chance of getting a merit. And lo and behold, I got the highest scoring image I've ever had, and my first loan from an image that was not a professional job wedding image. So, I mean, and that right there, that is the gist of why they are pushing for the wedding photographer's degree. I feel I would like, hopefully, if the wedding photographer's degree had existed all this time, hopefully I would have gotten that several years ago. I would like to think, hopefully, I would have. We'll find out, because I have a whole folder full of images that scored 79 that were wedding images that will be going right into the new wedding degree competition the minute they launch that thing, so I can find out if they truly are 79s in that world or if they're just 79s in the portrait world.
And you'll find out.
Yes, I will.
Stay tuned to the Photobomb Podcast.
There will be much gnashing of teeth.
and a lot of ranting. Yes, a lot of ranting. Ranty McRantface.
Be sure and find us online at facebook.com/photobombpodcast, and you can find Gary at HughesFioretti.com.
Yep.
You can find me at BooRayPerry.com. You can email us questions@photobombpodcast.com, and we'll see you back here next week.
See you later.